This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I don't even think that game was over yet on Tuesday night when I texted the thread and I said, Bobby Marks, now let's do this because we got to figure out an offseason here. He's the best NBA front office insider for ESPN. Bobby Marks with us on Willard and Dibs. Bobby, how are you today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're great, man. Hey, listen, first question right off the bat. How viable are the Warriors in terms of acquiring a big name should he become available?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's a matter of where you are salary-wise. This is different than years before. You know, this is different than combining two salaries and going out and get a $45 million player or a $50 million player. Where they are right now, it's not viable. Where they are right now, from now until June 30th, it's not viable. You're basically kind of in a frozen transaction period where you ended the season with your finances, these new apron rules that started on Monday, the inability to take back more money, the inability to aggregate contracts, meaning combining salary. So if you wanted to go out and get a $48 million player, you wouldn't be able to combine Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green, for example, here. So for now, you're kind of in a holding pattern until you figure out what you're going to do with Chris Paul and what the price tag, if the goal is to bring back Klay Thompson, is. And then you can start figuring out, as far as, you know, where your salaries are, you know, do some of the restrictions that are really strict right now start to loosen in everything right now. But yeah, I mean, you've got, from a draft equity standpoint, you've got, you know, you can trade your first round pick starting the night of the draft. So you can move 25 and 27 or 26 and 28. You can also move that pick that's owed to the Wizards, that you can move, that's in the, you know, if it's in the top 20 here. So from an equity standpoint, you know, you've got pieces. It's just a matter of loosening, you know, some of those restrictions. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, Joe Lacob has been on the record saying that there basically has to be some type of budget here.
And the budget has to come to pass before June 30th in order to get below the apron and have that flexibility the way I'm reading it. And how much does the Chris Paul contract play into that? Is there a way that that contract could be used as a resource in a trade by guaranteeing it and finding somebody to take it on?
Well, that's, you can, sure. I mean, that's what happened last year with Phoenix, when they wound up moving Chris. His contract at the time was only partially guaranteed, and they wound up getting Bradley Beal in the deal. You could do that. I think it's just a matter of, is ownership in the front office willing to absorb more salary? You know, if you're moving $30 million, are you willing to take back a $30 million guy that's guaranteed? You know, I think that's the kind of the unknown right now, because if you just waive Chris, yeah, you have, you know, the flexibility to get under the luxury tax or get under the, you know, either apron, even if you bring back Clay.
Bobby, how much is Klay Thompson worth on the open market?
I think he's, you know, I heard somebody say the non-tax mid-level. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I know he was bad the other night in Sacramento. And I think that's the shame of it all. He wasn't good in Sacramento. And I thought he had been really good up into that point, you know, kind of since the All-Star break here. I still think he's a $25, $30 million player. I really do. Is he a three years? Probably not. But if the Magic fall, I'm going to just give an example. If the Magic falls short and, you know, they need shooting desperately, would you pay Clay 2 for 60, 2 for 50, somewhere in that range? And I think he's still, I think he's, you know, a north of $20 million guy.
Can the Warriors afford him at that price point that you're laying out? If it's 2 and 50 even, can Joe Lacob afford to bring him in and still stay below either apron, let alone the tax number?
Yes, they can, because if you take Chris off, that gets you down to about 141. You add $25 million there, that gets you 166. The apron's like 177. You still have, you could still add a couple minimum guys here, so it is certainly doable as far as, and that gives you, you know, as I said, some of those restrictions that you have right now begin to get lifted, and it gives you the more flexibility to go out and do another deal if you wanted to.
Bobby Marks, ESPN, with us here on Willard and Dibs. Bobby, let's go back to what you were saying about how for right now you cannot combine two salaries to get a bigger salary. So how and when could they? So in other words, when they were able to get to a point to get into a conversation about acquiring a bigger player, how in you know, dumbed down terms can they go about doing that?
July 1st. That's when basically the clock resets as far as where you are financially. July 1st is a date to circle, and I think you know, certainly Chris's contract gets guaranteed on June 28th. So you'll know by the end of June as far as where Golden State will be going into free agency as far as from a flexibility standpoint.
When you look at assets they possibly could package at that point, how is Andrew Wiggins viewed around the league at 26.2 next year?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rich contract. You know, there were moments when he was, you know, pretty good, and then there was moments like, you know, the Sacramento games, and there were probably more moments like that that this season. You know, 3 years at whatever $75 million, for example, what's left is a rich number. But it's a matter of, okay, what else is coming back with that? Right? Is there another player? Is there a young player? Is there draft picks here? Every team needs a $20 to $25 million player to put in a deal if the goal is to go out and get a, you know, $35-40 million guy. So it's more of a I don't want to say trade asset, but it's a trade component that a team could use. The value of it as far as on the court is probably not where it was, you know, certainly from 2 years ago.
Bobby, this is the one I think a lot of Warrior fans struggle with, especially, and this is an extension of that Wiggins conversation. If the Warriors get to a spot where they can get into a conversation about a big name player, do they have the assets that another team would want without including Jonathan Kuminga?
Well, I mean, it's a matter of, yes, I mean, you got Podzinski, you've got Moody, and you've got draft picks and Trace Jackson Davis, right? Those are your, you know, take Kuminga out of the equation. So what are those three? Draft equity, and then, you know, you add that big contract there. So I certainly think so. I think that from the young player's perspective, you do. I don't think you have to put coming in. I mean, it's just a matter of kind of who that player is who's available.
When you look at the aprons, the various aprons, and Joe Lacob has been very adamant about trying to get out of that second apron, what's the big punishment that lies in the future for Golden State if they continue to be a second apron violator?
Yeah, so what will happen is if you finish next season over the second apron, your first round pick in 2032 gets frozen. Okay, so what that means is that you won't be able to use that in a trade. If you're in the apron, you know, basically 3 years in a row, so you're starting with the 24-25 season, your draft pick in the seventh year.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So all the way out, will get moved from wherever it is to the back of the first round. So let's say, you know, 7 or 8 years from now, Golden State's got the first pick in a draft. Well, that all of a sudden becomes the 30th pick in a draft because you've been over the apron for 3 years in a row.
Bobby, let's talk about Chris Paul specifically for a second, because I know this one is a little bit intricate. Can you explain to our audience what exactly the Warriors can do with that contract, other than, as you said, obviously just waiving him.
Yeah, I mean, in any other probably season, I think it's a trade asset here. What you can't do is, because it's not guaranteed, you can't trade Chris Paul out right now and take back a $30 million player, because you're basically sending out zero as far as in salary, because there's no protection to it here. So it's a matter, and this comes down to ownership. You know, how much is ownership willing to kind of absorb if there is a player out there that they can go get? And if it's not Andrew Wiggins, if it's Chris Paul, and now you're adding draft picks, and you're adding your young players here, you know, that's a big trade asset here. But, you know, there's certainly a big cost to guaranteeing that. There's a cost to running back the same group. And I said that before the Sacramento game, I thought you could have made an argument that, you know, hey, based on how they played at the end of the year, and, you know, 10-2 and 27-12 in the last 39, like, you know, really good on the road. But since Sacramento, now it's like, okay, now who's going to be the odd man out? And I do think it's going to be Chris, unless, as I said, ownership is willing to take back more money, and take back more money means another player, and also bring back Klay Thompson.
From a practical standpoint, is there even a suitor out there that would want Chris Paul at $30 million to give up their $30 million asset?
Probably not, unless you're getting something back, something good. We saw it last year. You know, we didn't, there was the likelihood that Chris was going to get waived in Phoenix. And then all of a sudden Bradley Beal becomes available. But the difference was, last year you were able to combine salaries. This year you're not. So that makes it a little bit more challenging. So if there was a $50 million guy out there, to go out and get, you know, put him and Wiggins together, the likelihood is that you still exceed that second apron, and that won't be allowed.
Interesting. Bobby Marks with us, ESPN here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Bobby, I wanted to follow up on your comment about, yes, the Warriors can afford Klay Thompson at $24, $25 million per year. Can they afford Klay Thompson and also find a way to trade for a younger, big-name player?
No, they can't. They can't, because basically what will happen is Klay would replace, if you waived Chris, would replace that. You're basically right at the luxury tax. You know, you sign Klay, and you move Chris, and you take back a $30 million player. The likelihood is that, you're going to be deep in the tax. You're going to be in the apron, and that's something, you know, as you guys know, ownership has pretty much said no to, unless, you know, hey, things change. I mean, things are pretty fluid. We don't know who that next disgruntled player will be. But as I said, the challenge as far as going out and you basically got to go dollar for dollar on every trade, certainly presents a challenge.
So then let's take the Warriors at their word, because they've all said in the last 48 hours they want to keep Klay.
Yeah.
When you hear them say that, what does that mean to you as far as their roster reconstruction?
I think what it says is that they want to keep him, but there's a price to keep him at. And they're probably not willing to go back over a price. I think it's, listen, there's, you know, you've got Moody and Brandon as kind of fallbacks if things don't work. And eventually, and I know you got, you know, Curry on 2 more years and Green's got 3 more years. Eventually, like, you're probably going to have to rip the Band-Aid off this. And if he's step one to doing that, the challenge comes with, you know, if Curry was in the last year of his deal, then you could say, well, maybe you do it one more, you know, run it back 1 more year and stuff. You know, Steph's got 2 more years left, and you still want to put a competitive roster, and it's a matter of kind of having faith in those two young players that you can do it. As I said, if the price is too steep to bring him back.
When you talk about ripping the Band-Aid off, when that actually happens and Jonathan Kuminga is still here, what does that extension look like? He's going into his last year of a team option at 7.6. If he gets extended this offseason, how much do you think he gets and for how long?
Well, rookie extensions are the most challenging ones out there, because, you know, Kuminga and his agent aren't competing against anybody. There's nobody with cap space. It's really just the day before the regular season starts. Basically, Golden State's got all the leverage until next offseason. So I always thought, you know, rookie extensions, my good friend Brian Windhorst always says it's kind of like the fun extensions, right? Like, you're basically buying upside. It's a stock. You're hoping that player can take 2 steps and he can become an all-star. I think his number is probably in that 5 for 130 range. I don't think he's a max player, which would be 5 for 225 or 5 for 225. But I do think he's probably a 25 to $30 million player, because I do think the upside is there to be a top starter / all-star type player in the league.
All right, Bobby, let's stop messing around. What's up with Lauri Markkanen? What's going on here?
Well, he's renegotiation eligible in Utah. They can't do it until early August. It's going to be interesting as far as what approach Utah has taken. Danny Ainge went on the record the other day and said, we're willing to go big game hunting this offseason, which is rare because that team basically has punted the last two trade deadlines here. So he's in the last year of his contract. Certainly, if he does not renegotiate or even extend, certainly that's a guy to kind of circle.
Any chance that Warriors' dream of a LeBron James taking the minimum comes to Golden State? Bobby, fans here, we're delusional about Giannis. We dream about LeBron. Well, maybe LeBron will just, his son will get drafted here in the second round, and he'll want to take the minimum.
He might play for free.
Pick 52, circle that right there, right? Yeah. 52 or 53. Listen, the beauty of the playoffs is that teams that lose, it changes like what your plan was for the offseason, because someone's not going to be happy. Someone's going to be asked to be traded. Someone's going to opt out of their contract. Someone wants to go play somewhere else here. And that's why I think we just sit back and wait, see what happens in the first round, see what happens in the second round. And then all of a sudden come early June, there's going to be one guy not happy, two guys not happy, and then all of a sudden you try to figure out how you can go out and get him.
I mean, some names, Bobby, even just possibilities. Like what?
I'm interested to see what happens in with the Clippers, right? Like, Paul George has been eligible for an extension since last June. Kawhi Leonard signed one. What happens if the Clips lose in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But then it comes back to the challenges of kind of getting your finances in order and being able to have the ability to go out and get a guy like that if he did become available.
Is Minnesota one to watch too, with Edwards' contract exploding next year and the Cat and Gobert already making north of 40 for next year?
Yeah, I mean they're deep in the second apron. I think it's interesting what happens with that ownership. What gets resolved there as far as who's going to be in charge? Do they have to slash money? Phoenix is not an easy first round series, certainly for them. McDaniel's extension kicks in. Edwards' extension kicks in. They are deep. A team that's never paid the luxury tax. This is kind of rare territory. And what happens if they lose in the first round?
Bobby, this is all great stuff. What if we just pull back from these specifics and ask you this? What, with the finances as they are and the names as they are, in your opinion, what are the chances that the Warriors find a way to compete at a high level next year?
Well, here's the thing. 46 wins, I know not by Golden State standards and not by their own fan standards and where they were. Like, it's basically like you're three or four, you're Draymond Green suspension away from being the fourth seed. I mean, that's the reality of it, or the three seed, because how good they were on the road and how good they were in the second half. And I think that's the struggle you have, right? Like there is, you're not like a rip it down and build it back up. You're 46 wins. Tomorrow night, New Orleans wins 49 games and could be sitting home just with, with second most wins in franchise history, could be with Golden State. So the West is brutal. Taking two steps back in the West will set you back for a long term. So I don't think this is a teardown thing. I do think you can compete in the Western Conference, but it's going to have to make some hard financial decisions and probably a big step in development with your young players.
Mm. Bobby, thank you so much. You really helped everybody out today. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bobby Marks, ESPN.
He laughed.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.